Welcome to Intuitive Astrology with Molly McCord. Thank you for joining me today for this special bonus podcast episode as we look at some healing themes that come up in an astrology chart. I'm going to share with you three case studies of client sessions and the deeper understandings that they were able to arrive at through their astrological energies, and especially as it pertained to some of their deeper soul contracts in this lifetime. We're going to look at one man's experience of an absent father, a woman's experience of having a controlling mother, and another woman's experience of feeling spiritually lost. And these are individual case studies that pertain to their own energies, of course. And the intention behind this show is to offer you some insights that may help you with your own healing themes, that even if you can relate to some of the details or some of the circumstances, they're going to help you understand more of what's going on within you. Your life themes and what you're here to understand about yourself at this point in your journey. Of course, this information can be transferable, meaning maybe you don't have a controlling mother, but you had a controlling father, or you have an absent mother instead of an absent father. And of course, please know that these are specific understandings that might not fully resonate with you. They are, of course, varied in how they can show up for each of us. But I hope that these are universal themes that give you deeper insights. I do have permission from these individuals to talk about their sessions and what they've experienced. I will be using false names to protect their identity, and I will give you some insights into their astrology chart to help put together some of the pieces. I have had the pleasure of connecting with thousands of people through one-on-one client sessions. And what I've learned through my years of practicing astrology, studying it, and continuing to apply it is that there can often be a theme in a chart that comes alive. The more that you see the chart and the more that you're in conversation with someone, we can never make assumptions about how the energies show up. We have to discover it more, be in that place of staying open to what the themes are, perhaps what someone has experienced. So you really can't assume anything when you're first looking at a chart other than you see the energies. And one thing that will show up for many people is that they have a theme in their chart. And this theme could be around family issues, financial issues. It could be around what they're here to discover in themselves through relationships. It can be themes around creativity or what they're here to express. There can be healing themes. There can be themes around their spiritual path. All of these themes can be very active, but I've also observed how in some charts there can be a single prominent theme that shows up throughout their life. And there's other themes that can be absent. For example, there can be some energies in an astrology chart that are really focused on, say, the person's soul growth in this lifetime, and they might not have strong relationship themes, meaning this might not be a relationship lifetime, where they're not meant to get married. They're not meant to be in a lot of partnerships. They're not meant to do things that maybe are considered traditional or expected. They're not here to be in the relationship dynamics in this lifetime. That can set someone free. That understanding can help them realign their energy to what they are here to move towards and move into. There can also be themes that show up in every area of their life, such as how to be in your power regardless of what's happening around you, how to speak up, how to express yourself in a way that could feel new or foreign, and that can show up in all areas of their lives. So there are unlimited ways that an astrology chart speaks to us, and there are unlimited ways that we can interpret the energies and the themes. So keep in mind that this is, of course, not specific to you exactly because your chart is specific to you. But hopefully some of these messages will support you in what you're looking to understand about your own soul growth and the energies that you're experiencing in this lifetime. So I'm going to begin with our first case study about a man, we'll call him Eric, who was in his mid-30s. And Eric was referred to me through an acquaintance. Eric is an engineer at Apple, and so he is very much about data, specifics, linear thinking, very technical. And Eric was looking to understand what was happening in his life. He was going through a divorce. He wasn't truly happy at work, and he was wanting some good news, you know, just in that point in your life where you're looking for something beneficial to help you get through some of the harder phases. And so Eric and I set up a call for his one-on-one session. And within 5 minutes of the session, I could tell that he really wasn't interested. This was not his language. Astrology was not his thing. And he really wasn't going to be participating in the way that would be necessary for a client. And so I said to him, you know, if this isn't your thing, that's okay. We don't have to have this conversation because honestly, I don't want to waste my time either. So if you're not interested, you know, let's just hang up and we'll both go our separate ways. And I actually say this out of respect because of the fact that, again, not everyone is into astrology. They might be curious, but they really don't get it and it's not their thing. And so Eric said, well, no, he was very hesitant. He was being very polite. And so I just dug into the heart of what his energy was bringing up in his chart. And I said, so I'm okay with this session not happening. However, Eric, I just want to let you know a few things before we go, just in case this has any value for you. And he was kind of flippant and just, okay, whatever. And I said, so what your chart speaks about and what it's suggesting to me is that you have a very strong mind, but you're also very giving. You're very sacrificing. There's a lot that you will do for other people. If you had a dime, you would give them a quarter. You do a lot for other people to the detriment of yourself, and that energy hasn't come back to you. And it suggests here in your chart that not only are you someone who wants to make others happy, but it could be operating out of a deeper fear of not being recognized and not being loved. And this would stem back to your relationship with your dad. And it was dead silent, and all he said was, holy shit. And that clearly shook him to the point where he was now willing to take this a little bit more seriously. And he said, I'm going through a divorce. I didn't know that at the beginning of our call. And I tried everything to make this relationship work, and there's nothing I could do to prevent her from leaving. And it's been very hard for me to be going through this midlife crisis because I see all these things in my life that I'm not happy with. And I don't know what to do. And as he was telling me this, I really appreciated the fact that he was being open because an astrology session really can't happen unless it's a two-way exchange, unless it's really a genuine dialogue. And so we talked a bit about what was happening in his life, and I told him that, you know, this relationship, this marriage was teaching you a lot and helping you to come back to what it means to have an equal partnership, a mutual exchange, because again, you do a lot to make things happen, but you're doing it to at a sacrifice. It's a self-sacrificing pattern. And he has a lot of energy in the 12th house. He has his Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Jupiter, all in the 12th house. His Sun and Mercury and rising sign are in Gemini. His Venus and Jupiter are in Taurus. Moon in Leo, Mars in Leo. So he has a lot of strength in him, and he really wants to activate at a heart level. But what he was doing was shutting down at a certain point. And so we got to the root of the energy in this lifetime, which is around his father. His father had abandoned him at a very young age, about 4 or 5, and he never had a father growing up. So he grew up idealizing, especially with that 12th house energy, what it meant to have a father and to not experience that energy, to not have that presence, to not have that role model. Now, keep in mind, there are many ways that abandonment can happen in our lives. There can be the physical abandonment. There can be emotional abandonment. There can be mental or psychological abandonment. You know, these are the abandonments where someone could be present in the home, but they're not present for you. And so he experienced a removal of any type of father figure who wasn't there to show him what it meant to be a man, to show him what it meant to be masculine or to even feel supported and provided for. And this also showed up in his life, in his own development to run away, to not look at things, to not face things, to either do too much or do nothing. There was no middle ground. He didn't feel that he could trust others to show up for him or to support him. This dynamic was something that he unconsciously developed, that he would rather run away from some situations instead of be abandoned or be rejected. It's almost like if he didn't have control, he would just disappear. And so in this divorce that he was going through, he tried to control it and he was still feeling rejected and still being abandoned, and it brought up this childhood wounding. So we talked about more about what that was for him. And he had a creative outlet that really felt good to him, where he sang in a band and he would perform with his band regularly. He was the lead singer. It was local places that he would perform, and it would help him release. It would help him feel seen and feel recognized in the ways that he didn't receive as he was younger. So we talked about some of the deeper energies of that father abandonment wound, because he had suppressed a lot of emotion. He was afraid of what would come up. He does have Mars in Leo and he has his moon in Leo, and there's a part of him that wanted to roar about it. He was very angry. And so I asked him, if you were performing one night and you were on stage and you were feeling really good about yourself, and after the performance, you walked to the bar to get a drink of water and your father is standing right there, what would you do? And he said, I would probably punch him in the face. And I said, understandable, valid, for the parts of you that were abandoned and rejected, especially the 4 or 5 year old you, the inner child you, who didn't receive what you needed from that parental figure. So there's a few things to look at here. Is that one thing you could take on for yourself is that you could understand that that anger is valid and appropriate for what you have been through, for what you've been feeling. However, you could give yourself the task of moving that energy through you so that you didn't have that pent up rage or that pent up anger. And instead, you could bring yourself to an equilibrium point where instead of wanting to punch him in the face, you would want to shake his hand. And this may be something that you have to work through in therapy, in a professional capacity, in order to get to that place, if you want that, if that's something that you desire. But there is an energy here for you to move through these deeper feelings where you're no longer angry at him. Because what I see here in the chart and what I'm feeling intuitively is a deeper soul contract with your father. Now, the reality is that your father probably wasn't the man that you needed him to be, even in your idealized version. So you wanted him to be a certain supportive figure who'd be there at your baseball games, who would show up at school projects, who would cheer you on. That's not who he is. And what you have learned by his absence is actually a study in contrast, that he has shown you exactly the kind of man you do not want to be, which doesn't feel good and often isn't our first understanding of these experiences. But the contrast experience is showing you where your choices are in intentionally choosing the kind of man or the kind of father that you do want to be. And so you have maybe idealized him in a way that supports or reveals to you who you want to be. So allow the idealizations to support what matters to you, and to see that your dad had a much different path to follow. Yes, he could have made other choices. Yes, he could have been there. And this is, of course, no excuse for anything, but it's getting to some deeper understandings that will empower you by showing you that you're able to choose how you want to move through the world, how you want to show up, because you've seen how you do not. You've seen the consequences or the ramifications of someone who disappears. And so when you look at your life, when did you disappear? And he's like, I disappeared in my marriage all the time. And so then we talked about, well, was that what you really wanted? Was that true for you? And where are you learning that you don't have to disappear, because there can be others who will see you and recognize you just for being you, which is what happens when you are singing on stage and when you feel strong in yourself and you're having fun and you're enjoying that experience of music and the crowd and everything that goes into that. It reminds you that just being you is enough, and that it removes some of the focus on the pain and hurt that is understandable with the father relationship. But he gifted you with this ability to see the contrast in yourself and in your life. And that if he had been present, the relationship could have been more destructive, because it could have felt even worse to be in regular contact with him when he still couldn't be the person you needed. So I realize there's a lot of layers to this. And of course, this is very personal information that, you know, really pertained to Eric and his life. But it's understanding that sometimes what we're choosing is really beneficial, even though it can feel painful. And those planets in the 12th house, he had four planets in the 12th house, are about finding the spiritual understanding, finding something that supports you energetically, that removes the ego and removes the mind's processing, so that you can tap into the unconditional love that you have for yourself, or that you carry with yourself. And a lot of those 12th house planets are the undoing, the removal energies, like something's removed so that you can understand what is true for you. So for Eric's journey, it was not having a father that showed him more of who he is and the man he wants to be, helps him to remain in control of his choices, helps him to see his own patterns of running away, rejection, abandonment, why those are things that he would understandably self-protect to not experience that again, and also to look at what he can change in himself. And he was really worried about going through this divorce, and he's like, I'm going to be single forever. And I'm like, no, you haven't even met your person yet. You know, she's coming in probably 2 years or so. So in the next 2 years, there could be something really good for your heart, but you will have to look at what you want to change in yourself first to show up differently in this relationship, to not run away or to not abandon yourself or abandon the relationship because of these unhealed wounds within you. So in case any of this is part of your story or your journey about not having a certain parent present, and if this resonates with you at a deeper level, it could be that it is a lesson in contrast that's showing you what you need, and that it's up to you to give it to yourself and to switch the energy around, to heal through a process where instead of wanting to punch someone in the face, you can shake their hand and appreciate what they have taught you in your life and on your journey. So the next client case study that I'd like to look at is about a woman who had a very controlling mother. And when I spoke to this woman, we'll call her Connie, she was in her mid-60s. And she was looking at what was coming up next for her in terms of relationships. And she shared with me that she had been divorced twice, and that she wasn't sure that marriage was for her. Now, in her chart, she had very strong energy that could not be ignored. I mean, it was the thing that I saw right away, which was her moon in Scorpio, conjunct the south node in Scorpio, in the fourth house. So right away, a very intense childhood, an intense emotional upbringing, and that could have felt very powerless, because that Scorpio energy is often taking on other people's energies at a very unconscious level. Her sun was in Taurus, conjunct her north node in Taurus, and both of these energies, her Taurus energies and her Scorpio energies, were being squared by Pluto in Leo. So when we're looking at personal needs, we go to the moon, because the moon is what you need every day. It's what feels good to you, what feels natural. It's the part of you that needs to receive energy or connect energetically to something that is satisfying. And with her very intense moon in Scorpio conjunct the South Node, it set up some really intense energies around her emotional inner world. And the moon also being the mother, that was one of my first questions for her as we were talking about relationships. It's like, well, what were your early childhood experiences with your mom? And she said, I can barely go there, Molly, because my mom was so controlling. And I asked her if she would mind giving me an example of anything that comes to mind just to help paint a picture and help me understand. And she brought up food and crackers. She said, I would be given 5 crackers. I had to eat the crackers in a certain way by a certain amount of time, or she would remove the crackers from my plate. And this is when she was a young girl. And it really got her into this place of survival, food survival, being able to get what she needed at a primal level. And a panic would set in because she was afraid she couldn't eat the crackers before her mom would take them away. And then as she got older, she told me other examples about the relationship dynamics between her and her mom. I can't remember if she was an only child or if she had siblings, but she basically was in fear of her mother and what her mother would do, what the consequences would be, what would be removed or taken away. There's a lot of abuse in this energy. There was a lot of emotional abuse and verbal abuse. There were places in her world where she never felt safe, And as her experiences grew through relationships, she was always about, how do I stay safe? And what does that even mean? And this was at an unconscious level. So what actually happened is that through her marriages, she became the controlling partner because that's what was modeled to her. That's how she grew up, is that someone needs to be in control. Someone needs to have the power. Someone needs to be the decision maker and the one who decides this and who controls this. And that's how she showed up in her marriages. And she didn't understand these patterns when she was younger. She didn't question them. They were just normal. This is just how relationships are. This is what you need to do. This is how you ensure that the relationship is working. So again, a very strong Scorpio energy, the lower vibrations of Scorpio, which she agreed was the case, and it was imprinted in childhood. Now, Connie's son in Taurus in the 10th house was very capable, very clear-headed, very aware of what she needed to do to get the job done, to take care of things. And clearly her work was important to her, which is true for most of the planets in the 10th house, where there is a desire to be of purpose, to contribute, to do something that is recognized, that fulfills something within the individual. And so her 10th house son was also very independent as a way of staying in control and not being vulnerable or not being soft, because she learned by the time she was 5 that any softness, anything that would be a vulnerability was not okay, would be a weakness that would threaten her mere survival. As I went into the energy of this chart, there's something really fascinating that came up around her dynamic with her mother. And of course, this is that moon in Scorpio conjunct the South Node in Scorpio in the 4th house. And what I was feeling and tapping into is that she has had multiple lifetimes with her mother. And in every lifetime, her mother was always in control. Her mother always had the power. And there was something about Connie's energy where even in this lifetime, she just resigned to her role. She just sort of, I'm going to say, gave up in changing the dynamic with her mother. She felt it was futile because there were so many energetic imprints where the roles were the same. And it was literally like a groundhog day of, okay, here I am back again. And my mother is the captain of the ship, or my mother is a father in this lifetime, and I'm her youngest daughter. There were, like, I kept spiraling into these energies that it was the same theme on repeat. And this was huge for her. This was truly a huge area of growth because she also had felt so powerless that it was a sense of hopelessness. Like, this is never going to change. I am always going to be powerless in this dynamic. And she told me that when her mother passed, she wouldn't even go to the funeral because she felt relieved. And family members didn't understand that, but she felt for the first time that she was free. And yet it then came up that she actually didn't feel free. She still felt captive, even though her mother wasn't physically here. And that's because the energy was still very present and very powerful within her. So we were talking more about her role in relationship and that she was always the one in control and that she would give ultimatums, that she was the one who would make decisions. She didn't trust that someone else would support her. And so I asked her, you know, Connie, when we get to the heart of relationships, healthy relationships really support your needs as well as the other person's needs. So in a relationship, what do you need, Connie? And she was dead silent. And she said, Molly, I'm 64 years old and no one has ever asked me what I need. And when I remember that, it still makes me emotional that she has never felt valued or open enough to understand her needs. So her North Node in Taurus is teaching her how to tap into what she needs regardless of anyone else's energies, outside of power dynamics, outside of any control. It's coming back to the heart of who you are, what sustains you, what supports you, what gets you grounded, clear, what do you need? And she broke down crying, which was beautiful because this got to the heart of her as a woman, but also got into her inner child energy that shut down at 4 or 5 because it wasn't safe to have needs. It wasn't safe to be an individual. It wasn't safe to be your own person or to have a different opinion. It wasn't okay to express herself or to say, this doesn't feel good. I don't like this. Please stop. There were no boundaries. There was no way for her to stand in her power. Now, when there is this level of intensity, I always recommend professional counseling, professional therapy, professional services. This is big stuff. You need ongoing help. You need someone who listens, someone who wants to support you. This is often not something to move through by yourself, even though, especially those planets in the 10th house, they want to do it on their own. Leave me alone. I'll figure it out. But I was offering her the suggestion that this can all be worked through. This can all be released and reprogrammed. In fact, this is one of the main purposes of your life, is to get to that place of knowing yourself and your own needs, and to do so in a safe environment. Because again, it takes time to feel that you can open up and share with someone. So Connie and I had a very emotional conversation, and because no one had ever asked her what she needed, she honestly didn't know. She didn't know what that looked like. And so I offered, or rather invited her, to make this a priority for herself, to just understand what she needs on her own terms and to look at what works for her, what doesn't work for her. And that, in fact, can be a really great exercise in clarity. Is that if you make a list of what does not work for you, it's going to help you get clear on what does work for you. So for example, if you're like, ultimatums do not work for me, or being threatened with how to eat crackers and in what time period does not work for me, those types of understandings are then going to give you clarity, perhaps on the other side of the coin, where I want to feel relaxed in enjoying my meal. And I know this sounds so basic, but this is the kind of thing that you start to see in yourself of what makes you feel good, where you feel safe, where you feel strong. So she had an opportunity to go through that kind of exercise where even if she doesn't know what she needs right now, she can start by listing what she does not need. And then as we were talking about the role in her mother, what was coming up is that there was, of course, a very deep soul contract here to push her into her power, to move her forward, and that there were other lifetimes where she was too afraid to do so, where she was too afraid to step out of the loop, that there was this cycle of energy that was her comfort zone. And this type of realization can require a lot of self-forgiveness, self-acceptance, and self-understanding. Because if the comfort zone is an unhealthy energy or an unhealthy relationship, that can show her more of what she's accepted as the status quo, of what she's allowed. And it helps her then see where to do more work, where to raise her level of self-love and self-value so that she can establish new boundaries. So clearly this is very deep, it's very complex, and it does require ongoing assistance. This is the kind of really deep stuff that, you know, a skilled professional can help someone move through. And I feel that that's very important to tell people because as an astrologer, you know, we can hone in on things and see energies and see specifics, but the stuff takes time to massage it out and to work it through, and that it can be really beneficial to give yourself that experience of working through something with someone who gets it. And so with Connie, we clearly had some huge breakthroughs, some huge realizations. She said, well, what if I never like my mom? She's like, what if I can never truly love her? And my response was, honor that. Honor where you're at. Honor what you feel right now. Because at the higher levels of energy, at the higher self soul level, you and your mom can be best friends. And there's an unconditional love there that is available to tap into if you want to do that, if that's something you want to connect with. But if that's not where you're at, honor where you're at. Honor your own process. Be your own best friend. Don't force yourself to do anything or to feel anything if it's not genuine, because then you're just engaging in power dynamics with yourself. So this is about unconditional love and acceptance of who you are, what you've been through, how you're feeling, and how you can continue to love yourself through this healing process. So Connie is a very beautiful soul, a very wise woman, and she went through some amazing therapy to change around her energy and to see and feel what it means to be herself in a whole new way. And then the third story I want to share with you is about a woman that we'll call Anne, who was feeling spiritually lost. Her energy was unlike anything I've ever felt before. We were talking on the phone and I was so dizzy because her energy felt so big and cosmic, but it wasn't in her body. It wasn't grounded. It was everywhere. She had a lot of energies that I felt were galactic, that were like, I kept seeing it as like these little stardust specks, almost like her physical self was just an outline and there was no filler. There was nothing within her. And then I felt the energy shift because I felt like she had been hosting walk-ins. And so walk-ins are energies of other beings that come into the physical body and basically make it home, but it's not her own energy. And she had been through a string of really odd, bizarre events that were borderline violent, that were borderline absurd and crazy. And she never felt like she understood what was going on. And she's one of the only people that I've ever felt this energy of a walk-in where I think that your body is really filled with another entity. Like your energy has been so open that you haven't had boundaries or protection. It's almost like you've been hosting different things that come in and come out, and it's never truly you. And it's also why there's this floating energy around her where, again, nothing was grounded. She had strong Pisces energy in the ninth house, a Sun, Mercury, Mars in Pisces in the ninth house, and no planets in Earth signs. So she would actually be in these string of relationships with other people who would have a house, for example, or they'd have the car, or they would provide something in the physical plane that would support her. So what we were looking at is how she felt spiritually lost and that nothing resonated with her. She didn't know what to connect to, but she was so intuitive and felt so many energies that it would be really overwhelming, that it would just wipe her out some days. She's like, Molly, I can't even show up to a job because my energy changes so much that even if I get a job on Friday, I might not have the energy for it on Monday. So she was also having financial issues and health problems because of her inability to stabilize and to ground herself. So what we were looking at in her chart is what she could do. And there's many ways, of course, that people can make small practical changes. But with her energy, because it was so dispersed, she really needed to call it back in and develop a much stronger aura so that nothing could intrude on her personal space or in her body, that nothing could show up, that she just wouldn't be this host to other energies. Now, I know this can sound scary and really odd, and there are different energetic levels in our galaxy, in our world, that can come in and come out. And the first time I brought up this concept of a walk-in, she relaxed because something clicked for her. It's like she had her own brain, but she didn't have her own body. She just had this huge disconnect between her different energies. So the one thing she could do was really focus on bringing all her energy back into herself to really get stronger in her aura and to do some focused exercises on each chakra. And these are meditations and visualizations that you can do for free. There's some things on YouTube about the chakras and visualizations. There's different ways you can energetically work with this. But she also needed to be grounded, and she needed to strengthen her throat chakra where she could say no, because she was a pushover. She would say yes to anything. She was susceptible to anything anybody wanted. So she had to develop not only her throat chakra, but a backbone. So these were all energy exercises that she needed to work on if she wanted to, if she chose to, that would help strengthen her and bring her into herself in a way that would remind her that she can be safe in her physical body. She was very psychic, very intuitive, and would have a lot of dreams about astral travel. And so I also suggested to her that you want to call back your energy that I feel is on other planets. And I know this can sound bizarre, but I think that you go places and then you leave a part of yourself there because you enjoy that environment so much more than you enjoy Earth. But you are here on this planet, and there's things that you need to bring back to yourself so that you're feeling fully sustained and strong in this timeline and in this experience. And I have to tell you again, this was one of the most fascinating sessions I've ever had, because I was dizzy the whole time. And I would tell her, okay, I need just a minute, because I had to come back to my body. There was something about her energy that was so big, it just had to be reconstructed so that she could use it in a purposeful way. And this was all about her spiritual strength and not feeling like she was so lost, because she just didn't know what to do with this overwhelming energy. So bringing it back to her seven chakras, working on fortifying her aura, and then doing regular grounding exercises with the earth. And with the bottom of her chart being in Virgo, it was the practical little things that she could do every day that would support her. So for example, making sure that she would touch a tree, touch the dirt, you know, be around certain crystals or rocks, anything that would help her connect to the physical world in a gentle way was going to help balance her. She also wanted to change her diet to do more plant-based food that would help ground her, that would again give her body some real practical nutrients, and just she even had the idea that she needs to chew her food and then visualize it being digested, and that that would help her focus on being in her body. So these kinds of exercises were really important for her because, again, her energy was everywhere else but in her body. She also felt that the walk-in experience was finally validated because she's like, Molly, I've thought that before, but I thought I was nutso. And she's like, I can remember when I was younger, around 6 or 7 or 8, feeling these other energies visiting me. So we think it felt like she had regularly been this very open vessel, too open. Her energy was too open. And then it was also showing up as feeling lost, as feeling like, I don't know what to focus on. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm all about. So this was a very big theme in her life, but it just came down to the small practical things that she could do regularly in order to be in control of her body, of herself, and what she needed. And as she practiced bringing her energy in and grounding herself, she also made sure to maintain a strong aura. She also regularly would say things out loud about what is welcomed in my space and what is not welcomed in my space to clear out energies that she didn't want to connect to. So this was good for strengthening her throat chakra as well as strengthening her boundaries. And as she practiced these simple steps and established new routines, her psychic abilities took off and she was able to step into that line of work that really connected with her without needing to show up at another job. And she finally was able to connect with how to make money, how to offer herself to be of service, how to also establish more of a foundation for her life, based on her own terms, because up until then, she always needed someone else to support her. So then she also had to look at the energies and themes of codependency that were showing up in her relationships and what that meant, that really came down to not knowing how to manage her own energy first. So this was definitely a deeper exercise in reprogramming what it means to own your energy, to be aware of the patterns that come up, how to make practical, clear steps that support what you need, and to know that you're here for a purpose. And Anne still had a lot of work to do, and she knew that. She gave herself, I think it was like a 5-year plan. She's like, not that I know what time is, but 5 years feels about right. And this was something that would allow her to work with her energy, to honor how she's different, and to figure it out, you know, to not feel like she has to fit in to a traditional role or that she has to do something a standard way. But again, her energy was really beautiful. It was very high frequency. In fact, it was almost too high frequency for different places on the planet. And she needed to live somewhere that would ground her and that would help her so that she would feel supported. And I think she actually moved to the mountains so that she could be around the trees and the mountains more regularly, opposed to being in a suburban area where she just felt all this energy all the time. So that was Anne's journey into looking at ways to find herself, to feel grounded, and to know that even though her energy was very unique and very different, it has a purpose and it has ways for her to manage herself that also reinforces her self-acceptance and her self-love. So I hope that these 3 client stories have provided some sort of insight or understanding for yourself, whether you have similar astrological energies or not. Maybe there were some themes here that would be relevant to you or healing to what you need right now. This is the first time I've done this type of podcast episode, and if I have more stories come forth and permission to share, I will do so, because I think that this can be really helpful for all of us to also know we're not alone in some of these themes and to understand more of what might be happening at a soul level that can support you in accepting who you are. So as always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. I'll be back every Monday and Wednesday for new episodes. And please check out my YouTube channel, where you can find a variety of playlists that talk about different specific topics on astrology, as well as more of these healing themes. And I hope that that information helps you understand more of your own natal chart and more of what you are moving through in this lifetime. You can find out more about me at mollymccord.online or at consciouscoolchic.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and of course, YouTube. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you back here soon for another podcast episode.